The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك واصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك واصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم has stated, anyone who recites درود upon me once, Allah Azza wa Jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, once our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam was amongst the Sahaba, and Huzur sallallahu ta'ala sallam told them that, O my companions, I have seen hell, and I have seen that women in the hell have outnumbered the men. Sahaba kiram alayhi muridwan asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the reason that women are more in number in hell than the men? Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, because they curse each other and because they are ungrateful. Sahaba kiram alayhi muridwan again asked the beloved master sallallahu ta'ala sallam, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayka wa sallama, are they ungrateful to Almighty Allah? Our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam replied, that they are ungrateful to their husbands. If their husbands serve them for whole life, but still if they see any sort of shortage, they will start complaining and would say that, since I came in your home, I never saw any goodness from you. The viewers of Madri channel, our beloved master sallallahu ta'ala sallam is telling us two very important things. Those things which, because of our negligence, can lead us to Jahannam. What are those two things? Number one, cursing others. And then it is habit of many women, and especially those who are mother, that when their children get naughty and they start doing something wrong, so the very first thing which they utter from their mouths is they curse them. It is not allowed. It is stated that if anyone curses something or someone, and that person or that thing, if does not deserve curse, then that curse returns to the person who uttered it. May Almighty Allah save us from this bad habit. Then, especially those Islamic sisters who are watching this silsila, they also be careful in their behavior and attitude towards their husband. Because being ungrateful to your husbands can put you into the fire of hell. Dear viewers of Madri channel, according to some pious predecessors, if you have a bounty of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, but you are not paying thanks, you are not showing your gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is possible that your that very ne'mat and bounty will be turned into a source of torment. Hazrat Imam Hasan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala says that Allah azza wa jal grants benefits of his bounty to the people as long he wishes. But once they get ungrateful towards Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah Azza wa Jal turns that very bounty into torment for them. And it is happening. For many people, wealth is bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal. But once they get ungrateful and they show their ingratitude to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, then that very wealth becomes source of destruction for them. Their children destroy themselves because of that excessive wealth. They themselves end up getting involved in crimes, in gambling, in drinking alcohol and many other evils. So dear viewers of Madri channel, it means that if we have bounty of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, then it is also compulsory for us to pay thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal on that bounty. Then shukr is such a beautiful and accepted worship in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal that because of just paying shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal, sometimes a person is forgiven. There is a hadith mubarak which says that when Allah Azza wa Jal grants any of his bounties to his bondsman, and from the core of his heart he believes that this bounty is from Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah Azza wa Jal writes in his book of deeds that this person is paying thanks to me. Then further our beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person commits a sin and afterwards he gets ashamed of that sin, so Allah Azza wa Jal forgives him just because of his being ashamed of his sin, although he does not ask for forgiveness. Meaning, before you utter the words for forgiveness, Allah Azza wa Jal forgives you just because of that state of your heart in which you feel ashamed of yourself. Then our beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person buys a new dress and pays its price and then pays thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal, so Allah Azza wa Jal forgives him just because of paying thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal before that dress reaches his knees. The viewers of Madri channel, from this beautiful hadith mubarakah, we come to know that if we are buying anything new, so that time we must pay thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal. If any bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal comes to you, it is compulsory for us to turn our hearts towards the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and show our gratitude to our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear viewers of Madri channel, our today's topic is again shukr, and we already have done one episode on this topic. So let's continue our questions and let's go to the court of Mufti Sahib and ask him. Mufti Sahib, in our society, as we have discussed already, that the habit of paying shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal or showing gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this habit is, you know, decreasing day by day. So my question is, how can we create awareness in the people so that they make their habit to pay shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Promoting gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal and paying gratitude to the people, both. So our this silsila is one way to promote that. So basically there are two kinds of gratitude. Paying gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal and paying gratitude to the people. And both have been commanded. So for paying the gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal, the first thing is that if we follow the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the sense that if we make our habit to recite those supplications which have been narrated in hadith, after receiving any bounty, after eating, after drinking, and after wearing any dress, so if we adopt those supplications, so that would be one kind of paying gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal, the first thing. The second thing is this, that as I have mentioned, if daily in morning, in evening, we make our habit to pay gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal in our own words, because supplications are in Arabic. Sometimes we understand, some people don't understand. But in our own language, if we pay gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal, so that would be very beautiful way for paying gratitude. Because when we are uttering some words in our own language, so we are understanding the meanings of those, at that time really the paying of that gratitude would be from the depth of our heart. And other than that, in which way we can promote this habit among the people, so I think the first thing is to become role model for other people. If in front of other people we pay gratitude on every blessing and every favor of Allah, as for example, if we drink water, if we eat anything, and after that, in audible voice, we recite Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So if we make this habit in front of people with the intention of making the mind of other people, So then it would be one kind of another virtue. Paying gratitude is one virtue, but when we make intention to promote, to teach other people how to pay gratitude after drinking and eating, that would be other virtue. And other than that, if we try to train our children, to upbring our children according to Islamic teachings, and particularly we teach them and we train them that after drinking, after eating, after being tested, after receiving any bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal, we will have to pay gratitude to Allah. So if we train our children in that way, so inshallah, in that way, because children, they are abroad in their houses. So when in each and every house, the children are trained in that way, so inshallah, within a few years, paying gratitude of Allah Azza wa Jal would be spread among the people. And the second thing, paying gratitude to other people, because that is, there is also lack of that thing in our society. So for that purpose, we will have to become a role model for other people. As we pay gratitude to other people at every favor what we receive from that person. And we try to train our children in that way. For example, if we say to our children that, oh children, if you receive any bounty and blessing for any person, if you receive any favor from any person, so it would be your responsibility to pay thanks to that person. Say him, Jazakallah khaira, or thank you. So if we train our children, so I think in that way, paying gratitude of Allah Azzawajal and paying thanks to the people would be promoted in our society.
It's very wonderful. Ashimut sir, you just said that, I mean, if you are drinking water or eating something, so you say loudly, Alhamdulillah, or you express your gratitude towards Allah Azza wa Jal. So my question is that the same way I have observed many ulama and many mashayikh when they are sitting amongst their murids or followers, so they do something so that other people can see. So this thing will come into the category of showing off, or this thing will become sort of training for others, and in this way these people will not be considered as showing off people.
Basically, it depends upon the intention. So if a person says loudly, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, or he does anything in front of other people, if his intention is to be considered as a pious person in the eyes of those people, then it would be one kind of showing off. It would be considered as showing off. But if his intention is to teach other people, because if a pious person, if a leader or a sheikh or a teacher, because he knows his disciples, his students or his followers will follow him, so just for teaching them and just for promoting that good deed among those disciples and students, so now if he does something in front of those people with that intention, so that would be another good intention and he will get reward on that as well. And that has been proven from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. There are many ahadith and there are many actions which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done in front of other people so that they can understand. Particularly for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the matter is different because he was a prophet and it was his responsibility to teach the teachings of Islam to people. Whether those teachings were taught to the people from his sayings or from his actions. But in the light of the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can say for the leaders and for the teachers and for the mashayikh that if they do any good deed in front of people, to teach them that it should be done. And that is the practice of their teacher, that is the practice of their peer. Because some people, they do good deeds, but only they do only those good deeds which are practiced and which are exercised by their teacher or by their disciple. So if with that intention, a peer sahab, a sheikh does something with the intention to promote that among his disciples, so then he will get another reward. And that would be the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well.
Subhanallah. The viewers of Madni channel, from this question we got a wonderful Madni pearl. And that is that if a sheikh or a alim sahab is doing something amongst the public, among other people who are sitting around him, so we shouldn't have any sort of negative thoughts about him that he's showing off or he's, you know, doing riyakari. So it is possible that his intention is to promote a good action or good deed or a virtue amongst the public or amongst the people or followers who are around him. So if we are making badgumani, then we must be very careful that negative thought without any sharai reason valid shari reason will be considered sin, and we will be asked on the day of judgment about this sin as well.
Making any kind of negative thought is not allowed, but that is not special only for the pious people, that is for every person. For example, if a common person does something in front of other people, for example, in prayer, a person is weeping or crying, he is offering prayer in front of people, and he is observing khushu and khuzu very beautifully. So no one can make any negative opinion regarding him. Though that person is an ordinary person, he is an average person, he is not a leader, he is not a sheikh, he is not a teacher. So making negative opinion is not allowed. Whether that is regarding any sheikh and a teacher, or that is regarding any common person. Yeah, and that intention, what we have mentioned regarding Peer Sahib and teacher, if they make good intention to promote, to teach the people, so that intention could be made by the common people as well. For example, as in the environment of the Dawat-e Islami, every person is not a scholar, every person is not a Sheikh Sahib. So those are common people. But if they do something in front of other people so that the other people can learn something, if they make that intention, so that intention would be good. But there is a difference between sheikh and teacher, and trained sheikh who has got training from his sheikh. So there is a difference between a common person and that sheikh, because sheikh can maintain his intention. He can recognize the faults which can occur in his intention. So he can remove that bad intention from his good intention, and he can separate bad intention from his good intention. But a common person, because he's not a scholar and he's not a trained person, so then there might be mixing of good intention and bad intention. A person starts good thing with good intention, but during doing that thing, the negative intention will come, and that person wouldn't be able to separate good and bad from each other. So that's why, as far as the ruling of Sharia, every person is allowed to do good deeds in front of other people.
I hope, Mufti Sahib, with your this beautiful, detailed answer, many people might be able to remove many misconceptions. Coming back to the topic, if someone, Mufti Sahib, does favor with someone, now the person who is doing favor with someone, so sometimes they expect some sort of return, or at least they expect that other person will say me thanks or thank you. So this kind of expectation is right or it is wrong?
The action of Muslim must be only for the sake of Allah. Whatever a Muslim does, he should make only intention for getting the pleasure of Allah. That should be the ultimate purpose of his every action, whether that is a minor favor or that is any kind of other worship. So he should make only that intention. And sometimes if a person expects thanks and return from that person, so it might waste the reward of his good deed. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned those people who are really beloved in the court of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned their qualities and their attributes. What do they do? Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. What do these people do? Whatever they feed to the prisoner or the an orphan or the destitute person, the first intention is عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. They feed to all these people only for the love with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because they have love in their heart with Allah Azza wa Jal, that's why they are feeding these people. So the first intention is to do something according to the demands of love with Allah. And then these people say to those destitute and prisoners, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We are providing you food only for the sake of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want any return from you, nor any thanks from you. So we don't need any thanks and any return from you, because we have done all these things for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they have said, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. So now that person is giving favor. these people who are feeding someone, so they are giving favor to that person. But they are saying, we don't want any kind of thanks and any kind of return from you, because we have done that job only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that should be the intention of every Muslim. There is another verse of the Holy Quran in which Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned regarding Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. The most pious person, the most pious personality will be kept away from the hellfire. الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. Who gives his wealth in the path of Allah to increase in self-purification. His purification will increase with giving that charity in the path of Allah. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِلْدَهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. And there is no favor of everyone upon him which has to be returned. There is no favor of everyone over him, means over Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, which has to be returned. So why does he spending his wealth in the path of Allah? Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning, إِلَّا بَتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. All his spending wealth is only for getting the pleasure of Allah the High. So that is his intention. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioning, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. Because he is spending all the things for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, so now that personality, means Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, he will be pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal. He will be pleased with the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal, because he has spent that wealth for the sake of Allah. So in the light of these two ayah, the sunnah or the practice of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala to spend that wealth in the path of Allah, but only for the sake of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, there is no favor of anyone over him. This ayah was revealed when Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala set free some slaves who were Muslim and they were being oppressed by kuffar. So Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala set free them. So then someone said that might be there is favor of those people over Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, and now he is being returned to them. That's why he's doing that. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, no. What is his personality? He is the most pious personality. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala al-Atqa. He is the most pious personality, and he will be kept away from the hellfire. And now Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned everything. He is spending his wealth in the path of Allah to increase in his self-purification. So he is increasing his piety. He is increasing his purity of heart. And there is no favor of anyone over him which has to be returned. So now, because he has spent everything in the path of Allah for the sake of Allah, so now he will be pleased with the reward of Almighty Allah. So that would be the intention of every Muslim. So as apparently it looks very difficult that a person spends his wealth and he doesn't want or he doesn't demand anything from that person, but when a person has that kind of mentality and mindset to get the pleasure of Allah, then he can do that.
Just during this answer, you told us and the viewers of Madhini channel as well that money is used for the purification of heart as well. But I have heard so far that when you are making zikrullah, reading Quran, reciting Quran, and offering salah, so all these things purify your heart. But I think this is first time for the many viewers of Madhini channel that they have come to know that even by money, using money, they can clean their heart. So would you like to shed a bit more light on it?
Basically, regarding heart, Ji. There are two commandments Ji. From Sharia, from Allah Azza wa Jal. One is called Tahliya, and the another is called Takhliya. What is Takhliya? To remove bad qualities and bad things from the heart. That is Takhliya, to make something empty from something. So we have to make our heart empty from bad qualities, from love with this world, love with fame, love with name, and love with our desires. We have to purify our heart from the desires of our baser self. That is called takhliya. The another thing is tahliya. Tahliya means to adorn something, to adorn our heart, to decorate our heart with the jewels of love with Allah, with the jewel of love with paradise and akhirah, and with trust in Allah, with patience, with gratitude. So these are good qualities which we have to develop in our heart. So these are two commandments what we have been given to do takhliya and to do tahliya. So now, what is the role of wealth in the matter of piety? When we remove the love of wealth from our heart, so it means we are removing some filth from our heart, and that is takhliya, that is purification of the heart. Now when we recite the Holy Quran, we remember Allah Azza wa Jal, we do worships, what we are very commonly known to everyone. So those would decorate our heart with those good qualities. So in that way, the role of wealth, in the sense that we spend in the path of Allah, so that is very important in the purification of the heart.
Subhanallah. So it means that in this way one removes stinginess from his heart.
Yeah.
If he's spending.
Because stinginess is like a filth, and we have to remove that from our heart. So when we spend wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, so then we are removing that dirt and that filth from our heart, and then it is getting pure.
Subhanallah. Acha Mufti Sahib, you were saying that one should not have any sort of expectation from the one upon whom he is doing his favor. So don't you think it is very difficult, especially the human nature, when you give something, you expect some sort of return from him as well. So don't you think it's very difficult?
I think there are many situations. In some situation, it is not difficult. For example, there are many people who give their wealth to their servants, to their people, to spend that wealth over poor people. So they don't know who is getting beneficiary from that. So they don't know that. So now where is thank and where is return from those poor people? So, and most of the people do in that way, particularly the rich people and the wealthy people. So they give that wealth to any hospital, to any madrasa, to any jamia, and they don't know who is receiving that and who is spending and where are those people spending. So in that way, they are not wanting any reward in return. Only in those situations, when a person is giving that wealth and that money to his acquaintance, to his friends, to his relatives, that time there are some chances that this person will expect any kind of thank from that person. So, though it might be difficult not to expect any thank from that person, but it is not impossible. Why? Because in many situations, these people have done that. They haven't expected that thanks and return from any person. So as they haven't expected from other people, so they shouldn't expect from these people as well. So in that way, it is very easy. The second thing is this, is the intention of a person to get the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. And he needs only the reward of Akhirah. And he needs only the blessings and the bounties of paradise from Allah Azza wa Jal. And his eye is only on the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, then it will be very easy for him. Because now that time, he knows that the pleasure of Allah and the blessings of Allah and the blessings of paradise are much more better than these thanks and returns of this world. For example, if any person says to you that, my brother, if you give me 1,000 rupees, monthly if you give me 1,000 rupees after 1 year, I will give you one palace. So though if in beginning he doesn't mention that he will return you in the form of a palace, in beginning you will say, no, I can't give you 1,000 rupees. But when you come to know, this person will give you one palace after 1 year, after 12 months only, it means you will pay only 12,000 rupees and he will return you in the form of a palace. So then we will say, no, my brother, if there is any opportunity, so I want to give you 2,000 rupees monthly. I need two palaces. So similarly, those people who have the knowledge of Sharia, who have the knowledge of Quran and Hadith, and who know the importance and the greatness of paradise, so they can spend that wealth without any worldly intention very easily, because their focus is upon the blessings of paradise, on the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is very easy. As there is one story regarding Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, and that was the cause of revelation of one ayah of the Holy Quran. That is a very famous story which has been written in the books of Ahadith, as in Bukhari Sharif, in the books of Tafsir. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ma'adallah, he was blamed by hypocrites people. And some Muslims who were really Muslims, they participated in that as well. In that blaming, they participated as well. Among those people, there was a person whose name was Mistah. Mistah radiallahu ta'ala was a Sahabi and he was a Muslim. He was a true Muslim. And he was a Badri Sahabi, mean he participated in the campaign of Badr. And he was the relative of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala as well. But he was a very poor person. That's why Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala used to provide him with his sustenance. He used to give him food and money and this and that. He used to give him. But when, and this Mistah radiallahu ta'ala was one of them who blamed Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. When he did that, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala who swore that I will never spend money over this person after this incident, because I am spending money on that person and he is blaming my daughter. So Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu stopped to give him any more charity. When the matter was solved, then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed one ayah of the Holy Quran. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in that, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى. At the end of that ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ.
Subhanallah.
Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned those people who are excellent people and wealthy people. So they shouldn't swear that they will never spend their wealth in the path of Allah over destitute people and over their relatives. They shouldn't do that and they shouldn't swear for that. Then Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you love and don't you like that Allah will forgive you? When Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu listened to that ayah, that Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you love that Allah will forgive you? Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala said, O Allah, I love that you will forgive me. I need your forgiveness and I love that you forgive me. So then Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala again started spending his money and wealth over the same person who had blamed his daughter. So I told this story to learn the height of the intention of those people who are really pious. And he's not only pious, he's the most pious person. So what is the mentality and mindset of these people whose eyes are only over the pleasure of Allah, over the blessings of Allah, over the forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. So when those kind of things are in your mind, so then you can spend in the path of Allah and you will never make any intention to get any return of that in this world or to get any thanks, to receive any thanks from the destitute people. So it needs that kind of mentality and mindset. And that depends upon getting knowledge. Really, if we get knowledge regarding the importance of paradise and the greatness of paradise and the beauty of paradise and in the bounties and blessings and favors, what we will have to be given there. So if we really come to know regarding that, so then it would be very easy for us to spend in the path of Allah and we will never make any bad intention in that.
And the viewers of Madri channel, very thought-provoking story from Mufti Sahab. From Allah Azza wa Jal, Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala was commanded to mend his ties even with that person who was trying to cut the ties with Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and in one way or other, he harmed even the dignity or the personality of daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu as well. So what should we learn from this? You know, it has become our habit that if we favor someone, we expect something from him as well. And at least what we expect from him is that whenever he sees us, he should come to us and, you know, shake hands with us. And very humbly he should make salam to us. And whenever he is passing by us, so he must at least, you know, pass smile to us. And in many other ways, we want him to be under us in one way or other. So it might be because of your that expectation that I have done some sort of favor with him. So dear viewers of Madni channel, try to purify your intentions and do whatever you want to do, but only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and only for getting the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Acha Mufti Sahab, everything will be accepted because of the sincerity and ikhlas. And meaning, ikhlas is very difficult. Many people, they are mashallah practicing Muslim, but they don't find ikhlas in their hearts. So my question is that how one can discover that I am doing this particular action and I have ikhlas and sincerity in my heart as well. And then if there is any Madani recipe to get ikhlas, please tell us.
Sincerity, I would say in some ways it would be difficult to attain, but in many ways it is very easy to do. How? Because if we make our mind properly and we train our mind in that way that we have to do everything only for the sake of Allah, so then within a few days we will make our mind and we will get that sincerity and that kind of mentality we can attain very easily. But if we leave our mind without any thought and without any particular intention, so then many things will come to our mind, because Shaitan is behind us every time, so he will put his whispers into our mind. So it depends upon our paying attention towards that. If we pay attention towards attaining sincerity, then it could be very easy. And for that purpose, I would say, first of all, we must learn the definition of sincerity, the definition of ikhlas. What is the meaning of that? Then how many kinds are of sincerity? And in how many ways Shaitan can put showing off in our deeds? So when we learn that knowledge, first of all, the knowledge is important. The second thing is that during doing good deeds, we will have to think about our intention. When we are doing something, that time we will have to think about our intention. What is our intention? When we are offering prayer, when we are offering tahajjud, or when we are offering nawafil, or when we are reciting the Holy Quran in front of other people, so that time we must think about our intention, what that is. So if we do muraqabah over our intention that time, so that time this meditation and that thought will clear our mind and it will lead us towards sincerity. That is the second thing. The third thing is to do muhasaba, means self-assessment, self-analyzing. We will have to, when we have done something, after that we should pay attention over our intention. What was that during action? Because before doing that action, we made intention for only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. But because Shaitan is behind us every time, even during the action, Shaitan can divert us from sincerity towards showing off. So that's why after doing good deeds, after doing that good deeds, what we are doing, that time we should self-analyze us. We should analyze us ourselves, and at each and every step of our worship, if that is recitation of the Holy Quran, so we should think about the whole duration of our worship. What was our intention before doing that good deed, during the that good deed, and after doing that good deed? Because showing off is not only before doing that good deed. Showing off can occur to a person during that action as well, and after that action as well. Before doing a good deed, a person can make intention to be considered as pious person in the eyes of other person. And during, for example, during offering prayer, the people are looking at him, and now he is observing khushu and khuzu. He is bringing khushu khuzu in his prayer now. So during action, a person can be ostentatious, and after doing good deeds, now he can tell other people that I have done that, I have spent that too much wealth in the path of Allah, I have offered tahajjud prayer today. So showing off can be done before good deed, before action, during action, after action. So now self-assessment is very necessary to keep us away from showing off. So I think these are three steps. If we take before, first of all, we learn knowledge. Second, during the action, we should focus upon our intention. And after doing good deeds, we should do self-assessment regarding our action. So inshallah, through these three steps, we would be able to attain sincerity easily.
Dear viewers of Madni Channel, what a beautiful Madni pearl from Mufti Saab. This is cure for us as well, that if we have bad habit of, you know, making bad intentions, you know, these intentions come automatically sometimes, involuntarily. But if we are caught up in this problem, then what a beautiful solution, that before doing anything, just stop for a while and look inside yourself. And then tell yourself that I am doing this thing only and only for sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And during that action, that course of action, carry on checking yourself. If you find any negative feeling, if you find any, you know, you find the traces of negative intention, then try to remove them as well. And then after completing that action, then you must be careful again, because this is the time when you are again very vulnerable in front of shaitan. Shaitan can come and make you show off in this way, that you start telling others. For example, last night I was reading tahajjud, so this is also one way of showing off. Or I helped so and so person, it is also showing off.
That so, might be showing off.
Ji. So as Mufti Saab has told us, that it might be one way of showing off. So we must be very careful in this regard. Achha, Mufti Saab, just now you were making mention of greatness of Akhirah. So really Akhirat is great. And then the rewards which we listen from scholars, from Quran and Hadith, and then what we have heard about Jannah. So all these things are really very great, but still we are unable to find any, you know, love in our hearts for Jannah, most of the people, and love for the success in hereafter. So what is the reason?
The main reason is the lack of knowledge and lack of paying attention towards that. If we come to know the blessings and the bounties of paradise, and then we pay attention towards them, so then I think after that, doing good deeds and worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal would be very easy, and then we can attain piety and sincerity and other good qualities very easily. And how can we get the knowledge regarding Akhirah? So that is very easy. A few things are very common and very familiar for every Muslim. If he compare between this world and the hereafter, so he knows and he believes that this world is mortal and Akhirah is immortal. This world is impermanent, Akhirah is permanent. And this world is made of mud and dust, and that world and the paradise is made of gold and silver, and that has been adorned and decorated with jewels and gems and diamonds and the many other bounties of Allah. What we can't even imagine that. As Allah mentioned, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُم مِّن قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ.
Subhanallah.
No one can even know what the coldness of eyes Allah Azza wa Jalla has hidden for him. So the coldness of eyes is in paradise. So for getting the knowledge regarding paradise, I think the best book is the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Holy Quran. Because in the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned the blessings and the graces of paradise, I think, in every para and in most of the surahs. So if we really recite the Holy Quran with consideration and we try to understand that, so inshallah, after every 4 or 5 pages, we will read something regarding Akhirah, the blessings of Akhirah, how high are those and how exalted are those. So the best study for getting the knowledge regarding Akhirah is the study of the Holy Quran. Other than that, there are many books and there are many booklets about Akhirah as well. As there is one speech of Nigrani Shura regarding that in Urdu, I think, Jannat Ki Baharein, the Blessings of Paradise. So that has been published by Maktabatul Madina. So reading that booklet or that book would be very beneficial for that. And in the first part of Bahare Shariat, which is regarding beliefs of Muslims, so in that first part regarding paradise, the blessings of paradise, alhamdulillah, there is a very beautiful summary of the blessings of paradise. So if we read that first part, so inshallah, in that way we can learn knowledge regarding paradise. And now the matter of paying attention towards those blessings, because sometimes we learn but after that we forget or we don't pay attention. So the way for that is to read that again and again, and to contemplate upon that for a while daily or for once a week. So if we pay attention towards the blessings of paradise even once a week, so inshallah then the memory of those blessings would be alive in our mind, and in that way inshallah our heart would be inclined towards the blessings of paradise.
Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, if you really want to create and instill love of akhirah, then you must think about the bounties of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and especially the bounties which will be provided to us in Jannah. Imagine about the rivers of Jannah, rivers of honey, rivers of milk, rivers of sharab-e-tuhur, and then river of water as well. And then imagine about the inhabitants of Jannah, hoors, then ghilman, then your other fellow Muslims, Jannati companions. Then imagine about the mansions which you will be given and granted by the favor of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And then imagine that you will be in the company of your and our beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jannah. And all those personalities which we always long for being in their company, for example, Huzur Ghaus-e-Pak radiyallahu ta'ala, Khaja Muhyiddin Chishti Ajmeri rahmatullahi ta'ala, and then many other great scholars and awliyas and ulamas, inshallah azza wa jal, all of them will be there in Jannah. So Jannah is eternal bliss and peace, and Jannah is abode for the pious people. With these words, I make dua that may Almighty Allah azza wa jal give us death on Iman, and may Almighty Allah azza wa jal grant us special place in the special company of His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in paradise. Amin, amin, bijahin nabil amin. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does